All right, Mark. So we're good to go whenever you are. Like I said, I do see the first applicant here, so we can get started.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. I am calling to order the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission public hearing, calling to order at 5:01 p.m. on Thursday, June 20th, 2024. This is the June 2024 monthly hearing of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. My name is Mark Kiefer. I am the chair, and we are joined this afternoon by Commission Vice Chair Erin Allen, as well as Commissioners Feingold. I believe Commissioner Fleck will be joining if he has not already.
Not yet.
And Commissioner Steele, and I believe Commissioner Richmond will be joining as well. If I don't see her yet, but we'll update as soon as we get that confirmation. But let's see. So today the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, including the subsequent amendments to those provisions. We're conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to deliberation to the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing, otherwise known as Zoom. As you think you just heard, or if you've just joined, the hearing is being recorded, so all conversations between commissioners should be audible to the public in attendance until the hearing has adjourned. At this point, excuse me, we'd like to acknowledge any media or elected officials. I believe I saw Dan Murphy from the Beacon Hill Times. Welcome, Dan.
Dan's here. Yep.
Thanks for joining. Anyone else, media or elected officials present? If you do join or you're here and we miss you, forgive me, and we'll certainly acknowledge you when we get a chance. Members of the public will have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand, but not just your physical hand, but your hand in the Zoom. In your Zoom, which is probably at the bottom of your Zoom panel, you see some handy instructions on the screen showing you how to do that if you're not familiar, haven't done that before. And just to give you the heads up, we have a sort of order by which we do this. We will let you know as we're adjudicating each application when it is time to call for public comment. So we'll give you a heads up then. And at that point, raise your hand in your Zoom so that Nick can spot you, and then he will acknowledge you, and I think make it so that you can unmute yourself. So again, if you want to be heard on the record, please do raise your hand. And you don't your camera doesn't need to be on, but you do need to state your case or your comments verbally rather than just putting into the chat or something like that. We'll repeat these instructions if needed throughout the case the course of the hearing. Okay, with that, why don't we begin? First part of the agenda is violations, and first on that part of the agenda is 43 South Russell Street. Is there a representative? I think I saw Church of the Advent from 43 South Russell. Yes.
Looks like
Yes.
Karen's here. It, also, just so you know, Ed is here now too.
Yes, so let the record reflect Commissioner Fleck has joined the meeting. Okay, good afternoon. Thank you for joining. Do you want to give us a quick summary? I think we know why we're here, but this concerns the handrail at 43 South Russell Street. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, very good. So, just to be clear, for procedural purposes, we have before us a violation. And tonight, the applicant, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, has made application to ratify the installation of this handrail. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, great. Forgive me, is that Karen that we're speaking with?
Yes, that's me.
Yes. Okay. Hi, Karen. Thank you for
Hi.
coming in. Looks like you've got a presentation. Do you want to just take us through this?
Sure.
Okay.
We put up a handrail. I can't remember exactly what month, but it was probably January or something. We had a retired Archbishop of Kenya stay with us for 6 months. He was pretty frail, and he needed assistance getting in and out of the steep steps at the house. So we put up this grab bar, which seemed to be the only alternative we had because the doorway is very, it's not very deep. And he needed something that he could really hold on to as he went up and down the stairs. And so that's what happened.
Okay. Now this is, thanks for providing this handy photograph. We have looked at this. It's pretty much what we would call a pipe railing, right? It's just made of sections of pipe with those sort of angled pieces that screw together on the corners. Is that right?
It's actually considered a grab bar, but yeah, I guess it's pipe-like. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. You are basically asking to keep this, as it were. Okay. Yes. Any questions from the commission? Nick, I don't know if you can zoom that in just so folks can see it if they haven't seen this photo.
I think there's photos on the other page that might show it. That's the front of the house without it. That's somebody else's that's similar.
Right. Okay.
But I think at the end, there's another photo that might be better. There you go.
Okay, so the inside of the left door, and you can see sort of the issue here, the steps are quite steep. There's just a few of them, but they're quite steep, and there's not a lot of depth there. So a little hard to navigate that. I can understand why historically there wasn't a rail there, because it's, again, it's a pretty narrow entryway, but you still have some steps nevertheless. Okay. Commissioners, any questions about what is what they've done here? And is it possible to zoom in on that at all, even a little further, just so we can see the detail? I think that's going to be maybe the issue for us. It's just the as you've shown, obviously lots of buildings have handrails at the entry, and we've approved many of them. It's just like everything else we deal with, of course, it's a matter of the design and materials, the form of the thing, if you will, the architectural, it's an architectural feature. So we're concerned about its architectural character and quality beyond just its functional usefulness and so forth, which we certainly understand. Okay, so there you can see it's just sort of what looks like about maybe 1 inch or 3/4 inch pipe sort of screwed together there. And it's obviously mounted in the masonry there. Commissioners, any questions before we take public comment on this? Again, what's before us is an application to ratify the installation of this railing.
Okay. My question, actually to Nick, what does the city say about this?
We have approved handrails in multiple locations many times before, so I'm not objected to the handrail. I would recommend that it's installed in a different way with a different style, similar to how we've approved one for a property further down on South Russell Street. So a handrail is not out of the question. We approve them all the time. It's the style that may be the concern.
And actually my real question was the style. The only reason why I'm asking is because the way that it is now, if you're looking at the door face on, you can't really see it. Anybody else? I mean, I don't mind as much style that it's had, but I want to fight against being in the
zone. I don't mind this at all.
I don't mind it either.
Quiet as can be, you know. Might have been a different specification to start with, but it looks perfectly good, and I don't have any negative comment.
Okay, anyone else before we take public comment? So that's a fair warning to anyone who wants to make a public comment. By the way, let the record reflect Commissioner Richmond has joined the hearing, I believe. Thought I saw her.
Yeah, that's correct, Mark.
Yes. Yep. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. We'll take public comment. Again, if you want to be heard on the record, raise your hand, quote unquote, in the Zoom using the button probably at the bottom of your Zoom panel. And then Nick will acknowledge you and unmute you or let you unmute yourself.
Okay, first up is Holland. Holland, go ahead.
Thank you, Nick. Holland Ward with the Beacon Hill Civic Association. Our comment is, we do not oppose the handrail as the vertical railing is appropriate due to the unique steep slope of the stairway and the material satisfies guideline A3. Thank you.
Okay. Mark, I'm not seeing any other public comment for this application, so we can close it out.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm with Nick. If we had this before us in the first instance, before it was installed, and the applicant was simply desiring to install some kind of handrail, which again is something we see often and approve, perfectly reasonable, particularly in this condition, which I think we can see even from the photo is a little treacherous. It's just a matter of, you know, how we might want to make this a bit more commensurate with, let's just say, the better examples of this that we would often employ. This, by the way, is a quite ancient, one of the oldest houses in Beacon Hill, the Joseph Ditson House, right? That dates, it's one of the very few 18th century buildings on the hill. And so it's modest in size, I think, has outsized significance, if you will. So I think for that reason too, we want to make sure that we get this right. You can see actually even in this photo, it appears, you know, some nice attention has been paid to the other architectural features of the entry, the door knocker, doorknob, the escutcheons, and so forth, that have, I think, quite appropriate architectural character. So, you know, what we would often approve for something like this, Karen, is something like that. Thank you, Nick. Which is a railing that is a bit more delicate in its profile. It's a little hard to see, but this has sort of a, it's sort of flatter on the bottom and then has a nice kind of graceful curve to the metal. Makes it also, I think, easier to hold. And again, this entry that we're looking at here is a little deeper, but typically, you know, we've often approved things that are set at an angle like this. Again, just for its utility as well as its the look of it, so you can get a grip on it from even onto the sidewalk and keep it going all the way up to the top there. You can see this one also has some nice detail at the ends where they're sort of curved or curled around and so forth to give it, again, a bit more architectural character. So, I mean, I guess for my part, I think I would love to see this railing replaced with something a bit more like this. You know, I would be happy to leave it to staff to work with this applicant if the commission is so inclined to find a suitable replacement with respect to both its style and the method of installation. I think we clearly want to, it's installed in the masonry now, but it's a sort of stucco surface, so I don't think there's a big concern there, as long as we sort of clean up any existing holes that are relocated. Anyway, that's my thought.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Feingold.
Mr. Chair, I with some temerity disagree with you. It is not a rail. It's a grab bar. And I think that to try to make it into a railing would be much more difficult to grab a hold of, to hold for, you know, for stability. It really looks like the existing condition is as a grab bar, which is round and something you can grab and hold of and help pivot yourself up. I don't see at the moment how any kind of, you know, decorative rail, flat bar rail, or however it's articulated, or bent at the top and sloped, you know, would improve accessibility to this particular, what I find is rather unique entrance. It might be a more elegant one in that it doesn't have all pieces of pipe. It could be grab bars, which are one piece or more, but it doesn't offend me at all in this particular situation.
So just to be clear, I'm sorry, who's going to want to jump in there, but just to be clear, Mo, you're saying just the way it's mounted vertically, simply and so forth like that, that's what you're referencing specifically?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think, again, maybe it's not, I suppose, helping all that much to put it on an angle. Maybe indeed this particular configuration is the most useful for this application, in which case I'm fine with that. I think we could just improve a bit how it looks. Do you think there's a way to do that without making this overly complicated?
Well,
Well, that would be a question I would ask Nick. I mean, I tend to agree with Mo, and I'm, you know, looking at the picture, I mean, it's a really, it's really a steep, steep stair. And I don't know that a diagonal is going to give, you know, somebody who needs it, you know, much help. So I'm with Mo on that, because these seem to be, you have more room for the diagonal. But anyway, I guess the question for Nick or somebody is, can it be made to look a little less utilitarian, I suppose?
Sure, yeah. And I'm fine with that direction. And I think that's really the goal, is that's a well-stead Commissioner Ritzman, make it a little less utilitarian, a little more architectural.
I have to say that because it's such a small section, and as Mo put it, it's a grab bar. It's not offensive. I mean, I you know, everyone knows that I'm a big stickler for keeping Beacon Hill Beacon Hill. But I'm also looking at just, this is really basic. It's not an eyesore. The Civic Association agrees. The way that it is, the way it stands now, seems fine. And the idea of putting a diagonal, again, that's not really going to help somebody who's trying to pull themselves up. That would absolutely make somebody who's disabled work harder. And we don't want to do that. Or someone who's having some issues getting up the steps. This would not be helpful to them. So why not keep it just as it is? It's black. It blends in with the door, practically. It's not offensive.
Okay, no, I think you convinced me that the configuration I'm fine with it. I think it's just a matter of the aesthetics, honestly. Did someone else want to get in there? I'm sorry if I cut you off. Let's see. So, okay. So we have sort of two orders of business before us. One is the violation. It sounds like there's a consensus to dismiss the violation. So then I think if I'm not overstating it, it's just a matter of what we do with the application for this particular handrail. I had suggested perhaps we could dismiss the violation and perhaps issue an approval with the proviso that the applicant work with the staff to try to find a more architecturally appropriate design that would fit in exactly this dimensions, use the same mounting hardware and so forth. So they wouldn't have to relocate it. They wouldn't change the fundamental design. It would retain the same utility and so forth. How does that sound?
What do you think would be a gain by that?
Exactly.
I think it would look better.
Look better than what? Because of the pipe joint?
Yes. I mean, ultimately, that's what we're about, how it looks. In addition to the materials, I think the material is fine. Nick, did you just say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, as we discussed on our one-on-one, also this the actual height of the grab bar, does it need to be this tall?
Right. Aaron, let me ask you, just in your experience, because it's a little hard to tell exactly the scale here, but to that question, does it need to be that tall? Are folks actually using the whole height of it?
Yes. So I will tell you that we didn't install it, but we did buy something that was smaller on an angle. The handyman said, I don't think I can even install it in this location. And then you'll have to reach way down to get it. So this was his solution to helping this gentleman in and out of the house. Personally have to go over there sometimes. I'm fine getting in, but I had knee surgery and I need it to get out. It helps me.
I just figured that out, right, that I was thinking about it only from the perspective of standing on the sidewalk, but if you're coming out the door.
Yes, that's the harder part.
Yeah, I get it now. Okay, no, I appreciate that. That's helpful. What I had suggested was, I hope, maybe a bit of a compromise where we're not necessarily requiring the applicant to replace it, but just to work with Nick to see if they can find something better. But I think what I'm proposing is dismissal of the violation and then approval with that proviso.
Do you want two separate motions, Mr. Chair, or you want to do this all in one motion?
I would just assume do it all in one motion simply because I think we have consensus about at least the dismissing of the violation.
Right. That's for sure. That's why I thought that maybe two separate motions would just be a clear way.
Also, candidly, I think I'm only comfortable dismissing the violation with that if we're going to approve it with the proviso.
Okay.
Okay, any further discussion? I'm not sure we quite have consensus on that, but I'll go ahead and make a motion that the violation be dismissed and the application be approved with the proviso that the applicant work with staff to determine whether, to what extent, a more architecturally appropriate design could be found to replace the handrail in its existing size and configuration.
I get what you're trying to do, but architecturally appropriate, I guess I'm just having trouble for the same reasons that Mo, Commissioner Feingold and Commissioner Allen are.
I could clarify if you need me to.
Okay, go ahead, Nick.
So I think Mark and I both agree, and I'm just kind of trying to help to clarify here, is that the kind of the connectors are the things that are really kind of throwing us off in terms of the appropriateness of the bar. So you have these segments here, and here. If we could just make this all one uniform metal handle or grab bar, I think that would be more appropriate. Mark, does that kind of encapsulate what you were trying to say?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. I mean, you could also imagine, that where there's a again, you keep the existing mounting holes, but instead you have two, at the top and the bottom, there's just sort of two things that come out 90 degrees and then a pole that sort of goes in between them, something like that. But again, I trust Nick's judgment as to what would be appropriate.
We don't need all of that language. Maybe what we can just say is that we dismiss the violation and approve the request for a vertical grab bar subject, or providing that the applicant work with staff to determine an alternative design if there is one.
Okay, I'll rescind my motion, Commissioner Richmond, if you want to just make that a motion.
Yes, sir, I would.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Steele. We will, if there's no more discussion, we'll vote on the motion. Okay, we will vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feingold.
Nay.
Okay, Commissioner Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
And Commissioner Steele.
Aye.
And Nick, can you just confirm for me that the motion did pass?
Motion passes.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you very much, Karen, for coming in. You'll get a letter from Nick just summarizing what we've just determined, and he'll reach out to you, or you can reach out to him just to follow up and just get this finally sorted. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, next portion of the agenda is design review. The first application is 77 Revere Street. Is there a representative from 77 Revere, Mark Little, perhaps?
Hi, my name is Lua. I'm an estimator and project manager with Abacus, so I'll be the representative for today.
Oh, hi, thanks for coming in. You want to just give us a quick summary of what you want to do?
Yep, so this is it's an existing roof deck. It's been permitted in the past and everything, so right now the roof has come to age and starting to have some leaks, so we'll be replacing the roof and therefore also replacing the roof deck. We're making some slight changes to the existing roof deck so that it's closer to the requirements that Landmarks has. Starting with on the front, we are pushing the railings back a little bit more so they're less visible from the street. On the picture to the right where those white vinyl fences are, that section is going to be lowered. So it's all one level and the steps aren't there. And that vinyl fence is going to get replaced with a rough iron fence to match the rest of the railings that are on the deck.
We don't need to talk about this stuff. We only need to talk about the front rail. That's the only
part we can see.
Okay, yeah, sounds good.
From the public way, right?
Thanks. Yeah. So we're pushing it back right now. As of right now, it does have a little bit of a setback. We're going to be pushing it back a little bit further. So it'll be 2 feet, 6 inches from it. There is a picture in there that shows the mock-up of where the new railings are going to be. So that's
it is, right.
Yep, that's from the top. And there is one from the street as well. It's a little bit of a zoom just because it wasn't very visible due to the planters.
Right. So that's the existing one.
Yep. So, but if you look in between the abacus sign and the planters to the left.
Yeah, right about the level where it says builders and contractors, right?
Yep. So you can see the caution tape going right there. So that, you know, kind of what is going to be visible from the street.
Right. And to clarify, I went out and looked at this myself. Thank you very much for putting up the mock-up. It's very helpful. This appears to be about from all the way across the street. Like that's about what I could see from the sidewalk, like up against the building across the street, just to clarify, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay. When I walk toward your building, the whole thing disappears entirely at about a third of the way into the street, maybe a few feet off the sidewalk.
Yes.
Just for commissioners who may have not had a chance to see this. So again, just to be clear, you can see the sort of orange stanchions on either side, particularly on the left, and then that caution tape. It's a little hard to see, but it's right at the level where those words "general contractors" are, maybe just above. So that's where you're proposing to reinstall the new rail, correct?
Yes.
And it's going to be basically what we're looking at right now. You're just going to move it.
Yes, we're going to be reusing the railings for the most part.
Right.
So we're just going to detach those. We'll cut them and modify them to fit the setback.
Okay. And so the right-hand portion of this picture, as we're looking at it, that's going up the street toward Grove Street, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So again, by way of background, when I looked at this, there is some visibility of the first few feet of this railing if you go all the way up to the intersection of Grove Street, but it's just the beginning of it because I think you could just barely see it at the right, just to the right of that gutter is a chimney, right?
Correct.
So this railing goes behind that chimney.
Yep.
After several feet, right. Okay, so we're going to reduce that section that's also visible from Grove Street by pulling it back the 2.5 feet, correct?
Yes, the whole thing would be less visible from all angles on the street.
Right, I mean, you'd still see it, but you'd see less of it, right?
Yeah, it's okay. Going to key, I would say probably slightly less than half of what's currently visible will be visible with the new setup.
Yeah, that's about what I thought as well. And again, as you get closer to the building, it eventually goes away entirely. I couldn't really see the side of it from the downhill side because I think there's another building in the way. Okay. Commissioners, any questions just to clarify what we're looking at, what's proposed here?
I was curious, Mr. Chairman, if there's any appetite to push it back another couple of feet and make it that much more invisible or less visible? Because the 2.6, you know, I could see the orange cones and the tape pretty clearly from that sidewalk. And I just wonder from a geometry perspective, if they went back, say, to the edge of the chimney, it wouldn't, you know, make it a de minimis kind of a visual impact.
Oh yeah, good question. I mean, if you did go back to the chimney, you'd eliminate that side view entirely. Like I said, you might even eliminate the front view. What about that? Had you considered that, given and just understanding, of course, that if the visibility is removed from the public way entirely, you could ostensibly do whatever you want with it. We don't have jurisdiction.
Yeah, it was a conversation that was had with the homeowner. His major issue with that was the amount of space that he's losing on the deck. So, you know, he agreed to set it back a little bit to make it less visible. But he is hoping to, you know, lose as little space on the existing deck as he can.
Okay. I figure that would be the case, but good to know. What are the overall dimensions of this thing? I'm sorry, I can't quite read your diagram.
Should be one of those. Hold on, I don't remember off the top of my head. Let me just open up the plans over here and I can tell you guys.
Okay, so about is that 18 feet or 16?
16.
So the whole thing is probably about that times three in terms of its depth, right? If we go back.
Yeah, it's a fairly large deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, you're going to lose, I don't know, 5% and that just in that front margin. Because it goes all the way to the back edge, right. At back drip edge, right? It's not an insignificant platform.
Nick, do we know the status of this existing deck? Was that approved during the history of the commission as it pertains to this address?
So I do know that the deck was approved, but I don't have the exact dimensions. I was not able to find that. So that's all I have. Right. But I do have an approval because it was one of those permit approvals that I found on the system, in the permitting system, but I was not able to find the dimensions.
So we don't actually have the drawing or anything.
Is there a date with that, not. Nick?
Oh gosh, I'd have to go back and find it.
Sorry, it would be surprising if it was approved with the railing that currently is right at the very edge of the cornice, right?
Yeah, see on the left.
Yeah, they were approved that way. I mean, you know, each commission has a different view of it.
It would appear to me to push it back to the chimney, as suggested, reduces the usable seating area to a very uncomfortable and narrow proportion. While I'm in favor of that idea, I also think the livability of the deck or usability of the deck is challenged. And I don't think...
I'm now seeing in this diagram, which I guess I hadn't been appreciating. What is that? Is that a structure? It says closet or something. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, so there is a head house there. And then right next to the head house is a storage shed.
Okay, so you'd be, the more you push it back, the more you're kind of closing in on that, which is obviously an immovable object for this purpose. It's not just a piece of furniture that's sitting on the deck or something. Okay.
Yeah, so it does make that particular section of the deck kind of constraint if you were shrinking down more.
Right. Okay.
You see that dimension on the right-hand side. You can hardly read it. On the existing roof plan, it looks like it's 11.9. Is that correct?
Yes.
Push the deck back 2.6, it would be 9'3". And now you would be talking about putting it, maybe another 3 or 3.5 feet off of that.
Right.
You have I think.
Well, that's so you're left with 6 feet, maybe, Mo, you're saying? Yeah. That would be very tight.
I believe we did measure it on site because we did look at that possibility. I think you're left with about 5.5 feet when it's all said and done.
Unless the storage closet could be relocated and reclaimed, that area reclaimed as roof deck, but I don't know. I mean, now we're redesigning.
If we were asked to approve this, you know, from the get-go, I would have a very different view, perhaps, than I do of replacing an existing roof deck. And I think that the fact that the owner has at least made the effort to address what is one of our concerns, I would support the existing application.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I just looking at it again, that closet, I just also realized has doors that open. It looks like they're bifold, so they don't need as much sort of swinging space, but they're going to need some. So that would be quite tight. Okay. Other questions, clarifying questions before we take public comment on this? Okay, let's go ahead and do that again. If you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand using the button on your Zoom panel, and Nick will acknowledge you and unmute you.
Okay, first up is Holland. Holland, go ahead.
Nick, Holland Ward, Beacon Hill Civic Association. Our comment is, we do not oppose the replacement of this existing deck as it is in kind. Thank you.
Not seeing any other public comment, Mark, so we can close it up for this application.
Okay, thank you very much, Holland. I think we've got an effectively in-kind replacement where they've offered to push back a bit. I've looked at it. It does make a material difference in the visibility of the thing, even to the extent that from the middle of the roadway or even a third of the way into the roadway toward the building, it disappears entirely. Also reduces the effective visual impact from that other vantage point up the street at Grove. So given that we at least know this was approved in the first instance, I think I'm inclined to just approve it as submitted. But any dissenting views on that?
I would second that motion.
Yeah,
it wasn't quite a motion. You want to make a motion, Alice?
Oh,
I would. Arian, would you like to make a motion?
What was that you just said, Mark?
Approve it as submitted.
There you go. I motion to approve it as submitted.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we will vote. Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feingold.
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
Commissioner Steele.
Aye.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much for coming in. You get a letter from Nick just outlining that determination. If you have any questions or need any further information, just feel free to reach out to Nick directly. Thank you very much.
And thank you. One thing, Mr. Chair, could we, sure. Just acknowledge and thank the owner for making the effort to move his existing roof deck back, because I think that really, to me, shows very good neighborliness.
Yes, we appreciate it very much, and please take that back to your client.
I will definitely let him know. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, next up is 46 Pinckney Street. Bridget, are you? I think you are here.
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
There you are. Hello, Bridget. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Hello, commissioners.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. This is a project to replace the existing woven wire grills on the street level windows with wrought iron grills to match the layout of the existing sash. The intention is to install the new grates over the windows in exactly the same location as the existing grates and to paint them white so that they will be minimally visible. I think I have another sheet that shows how they would be installed, how they are currently installed and how they would be installed. So you can see that the existing grate is attached to the wood surround of the windows. And we would put this back in the same place.
Okay, so it's inset into the the window, or at least flush with the front of the opening. Yeah,
it is. You can see and there that was an example of one. But if you look at the lower left hand drawing, you can see the metal element that is tucked into the wood.
Oh right, frame. Okay. Yep. Oh, right. So it's not flush with, it's actually even tucked in further, right?
It's tucked in, yeah. It's pretty
like behind that little profile that Nick is pointing to with the tiny cursor right now.
The tiny cursor.
Right, right. Okay. And so the idea is basically you're going to mimic the mutton pattern of the windows. Is that correct?
Exactly right, yeah.
And how these things are thicker or thinner than the muttons?
They're smaller. They're half smaller. Inch.
So you'll still see the muttons behind them.
You will.
Right. Okay.
And the other image that Nick had put up there is an instance when we did this on West Cedar Street.
Right. And so they're black in this case because the windows are black and your windows in the current one are white. So you want to paint them white. Right.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. We don't see that very often. Okay.
Well, as more and more people are using their basements as spaces that they spend time in, they don't want to be looking through woven wire as much.
Right. Okay. So any other clarifying questions about what is proposed here? You've seen the before and after.
And it's three windows, two on three the street windows. And one on the alley.
Okay. It's around the corner from that one, the two we're looking at in the middle?
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Great. Okay. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that Commissioner Richmond? Is that a hand raised or are you just...
No, I'm sorry. I was just trying to expand the...
Right. Understand. Okay. Any other questions about what's proposed here with the three windows? Okay, let's take public comment. If you want to be heard on the record, raise your hand in the Zoom using your Zoom panel, and Nick will call on you.
All right. Go ahead, Holland. Your turn.
All right. Thank you, Nick. We do not oppose this application as presented. However, we believe black iron bars would be more appropriate. We would also note guideline H3 states, window grills shall be mounted within the window reveal and secured into mortar joints, not into the masonry, and not onto the face of the building. Shop drawings shall be provided to the commission for approval. Thank you.
So these are not connected to masonry at all.
Okay, very good. Just in the wood.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Anyone else?
I know the public comment, Mark.
Okay, very good. I am fine with this. I don't know that there's anything particularly special about what's there now. It's a unusual but not unique that sort of wire mesh that they have there. It's, you can find it in other a few other places. And I think what's proposed, I guess to my eye, is has less visual impact than the typical denser bars. The fact that you'll still see the wood behind and the muttons, I think, is good because the bars that are proposed are smaller. And so I think it will have a pretty minimal visual impact. That other example, Bridget, by the way, is quite helpful to give us a sense of what we're actually talking about there. Yeah. In fact, if it weren't for that angle, you might not even know it's there. But anyone else, any other thoughts?
I'm in agreement with you. I think that this is very simple, very basic, and it's tasteful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
is that a motion, Commissioner Allen?
A motion to approve as submitted.
Okay. I want to give anyone else before. Is that a second, Commissioner Feingold?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just one more chance. I'm going a little fast here. Anyone want to dissent from that view? Going once. Okay, hearing none, it's been moved and seconded to approve as submitted, and we will vote Commissioner Allen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feingold.
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck.
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond.
Aye.
And Commissioner Steele.
Aye.
Okay, the motion is approved. The application is approved. Bridget, thank you very much. You'll get a letter from Nick with the particulars. Thanks Great. For coming in.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Mark. Yeah. Thank you all. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. So we're going to skip all the way down. It's 46 Chestnut. Okay, so just for the record, 40 to 42 Mount Vernon was withdrawn. So now we are skipping ahead, withdrawn by staff. We're skipping ahead to 46 Chestnut Street. Is there a representative from 46 Chestnut Street here? I think I see Mark. Yes. Hello, Mark.
Yes.
Thank you for coming in. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is our second at bat at this one, I think. We had some approvals, some denial without prejudice last time. Do you want to tell us, give us a quick summary of your revised proposals for the elements still outstanding?
Thank you, Mark. Mark Van Brocken and Bart here. We have made some revisions, mostly some pulling back on some of the more aggressive propositions that were denied without prejudice last time. Nick, by any chance, did you get the updated presentation? I got some really good feedback from the Civic Association on Monday, and I uploaded something yesterday.
Did you put it on the portal?
I put it into the portal yesterday, yesterday midday. This is it?
I just uploaded it today, so I think this is it.
Yep, this is it. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Yep.
So what's okay, great. Thank you. So the proposal, what we are presenting tonight is there's basically five topics. One is to restore and replace a number of windows in existing locations, which are highlighted in green, which we talked about last time. There are a number of new windows in new masonry openings, a handful of those, and a number of new windows in existing masonry openings where windows are determined not to be restorable or historic. There are a couple locations of exterior lighting. We're proposing a roof deck and a head house to the roof deck. The mock-ups were installed earlier this week, and I've got some photos at the end of the presentation if the commissioners were not able to go by to see. So on the front facade, there are 8 windows in green that we're proposing to restore. They are historic, old, beautiful wood windows in good condition. The 4 windows at the mansard are not historic. They're currently 2/2. We're proposing 6/6 windows in the dormers, with the change being the dormer sill will drop 8 inches. So the windows will get 8 inches taller. The head will stay the same. And we, on Monday's conversation with the Civic Association, I was asked to look at some precedent. And if you go back one slide, I didn't have to look far. There are the image on the right, there are 3 buildings directly across the street with dormers in mansards, all of which have 6/6 windows, which I think is appropriate for a building with 6/6 windows in the main body of the building, as opposed to the 2/2, which is what is currently installed. So that's the front facade, mostly window information. The next page, on the Branch Street facade, the proposal here is at the very, very Branch Street portion of the facade to restore and replace a total of 10 windows, 8 in the Oriole. You can only see 4 in the true facade, in the true elevation, 2 in the brick, all of which are to be restored in kind, in restored, period. And then we're proposing to add some lighting, 1 decorative sconce at the service door, 2 recessed lights in the head of the garage header, and 2 sconces on the Belvedere, which is set back from Branch Street, if you recall, on the roof of the brick gal. The exterior sconce is a more appropriate historic looking lantern in a sort of black bronze finish. And then the recessed lighting would be set into the wood trim over the garage. So there'd be 1 sconce on the face of the alley elevation at Spruce Street, and 2 on the Belvedere, which is the top of the L.
And Mark, if I could just quickly ask clarification, yeah. Now, that's an update to your prior proposal, which had a sort of simple cylindrical downlight kind of design?
Correct, yes. I got some pretty instantaneous feedback from staff and from the Civic Association, so we pivoted to a more decorative lantern.
Okay, and it's just to be clear, it's the same design for all of them.
Correct, and reduce the number of the sconces. So there'll be 1 at the passage door on Branch Street, 2 at the Belvedere, and then at the garage, we're not proposing the decorative sconces. We want to have inset, recessed, just architectural lighting for safety and movability there.
Sure, got it. Okay, very good. Sorry to interrupt, please continue.
No, thank you. The next picture just shows some images of the courtyard. And then here's, I think, a helpful picture of, if you go back one slide, that new sheet I added, just some photos from Spruce Street looking back at the project. It's kind of not a helpful for us because number 48 has their garden wall removed. But looking at their approval, I believe, is to rebuild the garden wall basically where that wire is. There was some decorative metal above the brick wall. So I think the visibility would be a little bit less than what we see now in terms of what you see of the 2 facades inside our courtyard. I just want to give some context to the next drawing. Mm-hmm. So on here, this is where the bulk of the proposal is. So as I mentioned, the green are windows that we're proposing to be restored. They are historic, they're wood, they're in good condition. The red boxes where they align with the drawing are replacement of windows in existing openings. And then the red boxes, which are obviously not in alignment with the existing openings, are where we're proposing to enlarge or reduce or drop sills in masonry openings. There are 2 windows we're proposing to infill at the lowest level, one window that is currently double hung that sits right at the roof of the garage. We're proposing to, instead of a double hung, turn into a single fixed window, basically just keep the top sash so that the window doesn't sit on top of the roof of the garage. So going from bottom to top, the bottom floor, we're proposing one replacement in same location, two infill masonry openings, one modification from a double hung to a single sash to align with the upper sash of the existing double hung. The next floor, we're proposing from left to right, drop the head of that window. The next window, drop the sill so it's in alignment. The next double hung, proposing to enlarge that to a pair of French doors with a Juliet railing set into the masonry. And then to the far right of this floor, replace two double hungs in the current masonry opening. And the top floor, no changes to masonry openings, just restore two windows in green and replace the three double hungs with wood windows in existing openings.
Okay. And by the way, so the visibility of this stuff on the lowest level where you're infilling the windows, I think is pretty much nil from the street, notwithstanding the fact that you might be able to catch glimpses of it with that next door garage door removed, right?
Yeah, I mean, correct.
Yeah.
You will see the head of the one window that we're proposing to turn into a single light right there, I think.
Yeah.
Is that my cursor or Nick's cursor? That one. So that's why we wanted to keep that, you know, keep that lintel and keep the top portion of that window.
Got it. Okay.
It's the next floor that's probably going to be the bulk of the conversation. Yeah. Next floor, but
right.
Should we go through the whole presentation and come back to what's hot?
Yeah, why don't you just give us quickly the rest of it so we've got it.
Okay, on the rear elevation, this is inside the courtyard. This is the main mass of the building. At the second level from the ground, there are two historic windows we're proposing to restore in green. Above that, all those windows are either vinyl or aluminum or not historic. So we're replacing them with new wood windows in existing openings with existing detailing, meaning some have lintels, some don't. We're not going to modify the fabric at those replacement windows. And then at the lower level, which is not visible from spruce, we're going to go with a very large patio door system, but again, not visible.
And that's the top of the steps in the photograph to the right, which is behind your garage door, right? So the only reason we can see that is because you're behind the garage door. That's not, so obviously it's not visible from the street. Yeah, exactly.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, and then the next sightline diagram is the next page. We have modified the design of the roof and roof deck and head house to lower it quite a bit since last month. We'll see the photos of the mock-up, and I don't know if you all had a chance to go on site, but the head house we think is pretty minimally visible. The roof railing is minimally visible as well. We'll talk about that. The next is sort of detail information. You might just want to jump to this, my page 15, which is photos I took yesterday of the mock-ups. So the front roof rail is not visible from Chestnut Street, even down towards Charles. It's visible for about 10 or 12 feet on Willow Street. This is on the left, it's me walking Willow towards Chestnut, and then as I get to Chestnut, the railing sort of disappears. So it's not visible unless you're on Willow for two or three addresses.
Okay, I did take a look at this, and I thought I could see just the corner of it, like between two chimneys, if you go down further toward West Cedar, almost at the corner of West Cedar.
That's the side railing. So this is just the railing parallel to Chestnut. This is the railing. So there's currently a railing now, which is between the two chimneys on the left. And this is, these pictures were taken 5 minutes apart. So when you're closer to the building, you don't see our proposed railing. When you get further down towards West Cedar or towards Charles, it starts to become a little bit more visible. Yeah. But because it's set in from the face of the building, it will not ever be more visible in height than what is there now.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what I concluded. Thank you.
And then the next page, this shows, it took me a little bit of trying to figure this out, but I believe I'm pretty sure the image on the left is the rear railing of the I'm sorry, the image on the left is the, I got my labels confused. The image on the left, that one, that 2x4 you see is the top of the head house we're proposing. The image on the right, when you get closer to the project, walking up Spruce, that is the roof deck railing mock-up, both of which I think are minimally visible.
Right. And yeah, I could see that as well. I'm not even sure I was able to make out the head house mock-up, to be honest, but the I did see the other one, but just, and that's exactly what I saw, just a real little corner of it at that little, at the bottom of the chimney, right? Okay.
So that, that's my verbosity is over.
Oh, and Mark, just to clarify, so we're looking at, this is like going west down Branch Street, looking back up towards Spruce Street with Chestnut in the back of your building on the left. There's no visibility from above on Branch Street, right? Because there's a building next door that blocks all of this, right?
Correct. 44 Chestnut has a, you can see it there, that large roof blocks,
yeah,
right. all the rear work from farther east on Spruce.
Right. Okay. So to sum up, we've got a revised plan for the mansard windows on the front, Chestnut Street side, a revised plan that involves a reconfiguration of some windows on the west elevation of the rear L in the back, visible from Branch Street, where you're making some windows bigger, making a couple a little smaller, moving the heads and lintels around a little bit, or the sills, and filling in a few that we can't see. Then there's a roof deck railing and a head house on the very top, that at least from my eye have been mocked up and have pretty minimal visibility from any of the vantage points from which they're visible at all. Let's take the windows first. Let's go to the mansard on the front. Sorry, Mark, if you've got nothing else, I think you said you were.
Yes, I'm. Yes, thank you.
Okay, so, well, actually, let me just ask the commissioners. So that was a very quick summary, but we've got the mansard windows on the front. We've got the windows in the side of the L on the west elevation going facing toward Charles Street. We've got a roof deck railing and a head house in the back, and then some lighting. Is that a fair summary, Mark?
Yes.
The lighting being a few sconces on the exterior and then a couple of downlights above the garage door. So does anyone have any questions about where we are in this? And Nick, can I just get a further affirmation? Mark has characterized, using this handy color coding system, the set of windows that we have previously agreed are to be restored rather than replaced, and you are in agreement with how that's depicted here.
100%. Yes. Okay, thank you, Mark.
And that's already been adjudicated. That's already been approved. So that's not the subject of this application. We're just talking about the remaining windows for which there are modifications. Okay. So any questions, clarifying questions needed from commissioners about what is currently before us with the balance of this?
Yes, I do.
Commissioner Feingold, please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you. It says on the front elevation, existing and proposed, the existing with a photograph right next to it of the existing, where the existing shows a rail. There is no rail there now.
Is that a storm window, Mark?
The railing, the roof.
Yeah,
railing.
Mark, is that there's storm windows on there now?
The roof.
To answer Commissioner.
Oh, railing. I'm sorry. Feingold. I'm sorry, Mo.
There is an existing railing on the roof right now. I found no evidence for a permit for the a railing or a roof deck. So what's there now is railings on the rubber roof with no roof deck, not determined if it's permitted. So that's why that's railing seen. And that's sort of, if you're flying in space, seeing that railing that's existing, you can't see that railing that's there now from the ground. And then we're proposing a proper roof deck with a new railing that's elevated a little bit higher than the current railing. And then to answer the second part of that conversation, yeah, there are storm windows on the mansard, which are 1/1 storm windows, but behind the storms are 2/2, I believe, vinyl windows.
Right.
Now, the photograph also shows some kind of head detail on the mansard windows, which you show in the proposed. You don't show that either in either drawing. You show the slates going all the way through in both drawings. What's happening to the head of those windows?
That could be an error in our drawing, but yeah, there is quite a bit more wood. What I'm seeing, I'll just call it white wood trim above the window heads than we're showing in our drawings. So that's an error on our part, and I apologize. We're not proposing to change that detailing. The window head would stay where they are. There is maybe two or three slates above that, the dormer top to the top of the mansard. So there is slate visible in reality, and we're not changing that.
So that's why you want, but you want to drop the sills. That's why you want to keep the heads the same, because otherwise, I see that. Okay, I understand. And the slope, does the facade of this mansard roof actually slope?
It's very slight. It's very, very slight. But it's near vertical. But it's a slight slope, and we're not proposing to change that at all.
Oh, you're not going to change it. Somehow, I was under the impression from an original drawing presentation that it was going to be made vertical.
We have scrapped a lot of what we talked about last time. The only change to the front here is to take the four two over two windows and make six over six windows slightly taller with the sill lowered.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I do have a question about another facade, but maybe you, Mr. Chair, you want to stay here on this. Maybe others have comments.
Let me just have Mark one more just bite at this apple here, the windows. I just echoing Commissioner Feingold's question about what we're looking at here. So to be clear, looking at the photo, there does appear to be just flat wood above the windows for some distance. Nick is pointing it right there. Does that amount of wood, let's just say, get bigger or smaller or stay the same in what you're proposing?
Again, apologies for our drawings, but we're not proposing to change that at all. That it would be the same amount of detailing. What it looks to me, and I can get better photos, is there's like a window surround and then a piece of a decorative band and then almost like a frieze with a little crown or a cap. We're not proposing to change any of that.
Okay. I mean, I dare say, I think what you've got in your existing, to my eye, albeit perhaps not exactly faithfully reflecting what's really there, is more handsome, to my eye anyway. So what happens is what you're proposing is the top of the windows stays in the same location. The bottom just is a little bit further down.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct. That's what we're proposing tonight. Yeah.
Okay. And sort of forgive my ignorance, but does that mean that the top of the what we call these things dormers is further out? How do you accomplish that additional depth or height in the windows?
We're dropping it. It's only an 8-inch delta. The sills will be set into the slate mansard a little bit. It'll be basically a copper flashing detail because the window will be back. Like
you're just going to cut out the roof. You're just going to cut out the roof, right? Okay.
Right.
Okay. Any other clarifying questions from the commission?
Yes, I'm coming back to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Is it really worth the effort to drop those four windows 8 inches? I mean, just to make them 6 over 6 to be like the rest of the facade. Is it a visual thing you're after, or is it a functional issue from the interior?
The windows are quite small on the interior. The left dormer, that pair of windows is proposed to be a bedroom. Trying to get more light essentially, and the sill at 2'5" is kind of a high sill for a room with a fairly low ceiling. That's the drivers, is really to get the sill a little bit lower and to get a little more light in those rooms. So it's purely from interior, yes.
Okay, and you're proposing to lose the storm windows because these are going to be insulated glass, is that right?
Correct.
Right, okay. Anything else and anything we talked about? I just want to get public comment. We can obviously come back if anyone has further questions. Okay, let's take public comment and then we'll continue the discussion. If you want to be heard on the record, please raise your hand in your Zoom. Nick will acknowledge you and unmute you.
All right, Holland, you are first. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Our comments are in three parts, so I'm going to follow your map here. Windows front elevation. We oppose the change in dimension of the windows located in the mansard, which are drawn as 6/6, but are actually 2/2, and believe replacement in kind to be more appropriate to satisfy guidelines D1 and A7. It is important to maintain the distinguishment of the mansard as constructed in a different time period and architectural style than the Greek Revival house and its windows. Thank you.
Okay.
Holland, did you want to talk about anything that your recommendations on the back?
I mean, I have comments on all the...
Let's go ahead and do that, Holland.
You want to do all of it right now?
Yeah, procedurally, it'll be easier for us. Thanks.
Okay. Windows side elevation. We do not oppose enlarging and modifying the two second floor non-historic openings or the garden level modifications on the side western elevation, as they are on a secondary elevation and minimally visible from a public way. Part two, lighting, has been mooted because the change was made after we wrote this comment. Part three, roof and head house. We do not oppose the application as presented. Thank you.
And Holland, on the light fixture, what do you think of what they're proposing now?
I mean, my personal opinion is that's appropriate. Okay, I mean, so I can't speak for my whole committee, but yeah, that was our opposition to the light. It was the choice of fixture as appropriate.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else want to be heard on the record?
Nobody else, Mark.
Okay, great. Thanks.
No other public comment. Yep, sorry.
Let's maybe take the simplest things first, actually. The light fixtures. Nick, you've had a look at this. What do you think? The new one?
I think the new light fixtures are fine. I just want to be sure that the lights that are over the garage are pin lights or something to that effect. We just don't want to see the light source because that can be somewhat invasive.
Yeah.
So that would be my only recommendation there.
Okay, maybe we can put a proviso.
So it could have like a shield. Yeah, it can have like a shielding where it kind of draws down onto the garage door, but you're not able to see it from Branch Street.
Yeah, I think there is one of those. Right on that street, across the street. Yep. Yeah. Great. Okay. Anyone else have any concerns about the revised light fixture? Again, there's fewer of them, but there's one in the back and then a couple way up on the Belvedere. So forth. And then again, we're talking about recessed pin lights on the garage.
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Anyone? Okay. So it sounds like we've got consensus on the light fixtures. Let's take again, because I think the railings in the headhouse, I again was not able to see this headhouse at all. There's a large tree or a couple of big trees back there, and that probably had a lot to do with it. Maybe had a lot to do with it, I should say. But it looks like the sight line, can we go back to that, is from all the way across the street. And so let me ask, this is the sight line, Mark, from directly behind the building, right? Versus further down Branch Street. And we think there is a little bit of visibility of the corner of it from further down Branch Street. Is that correct?
I think so. Not to argue against myself, I believe it's slightly visible when you're... maybe 8-10 addresses down. That's a pretty zoomed in photo, but then once you get closer it's less visible.
And to be clear, so that's the left panel here, that's the top of your head house, but it's
correct.
It's right in the bottom of that chimney, but it's in front of this large wall, which is the side of your next door neighbor's house, right?
Correct. The head house would be right abutting to 44, which is that large brick building.
So it's not
with all the stacks again.
Yeah, so it's not against the open sky or anything like that. Remind us what material this head house is clad in.
Copper standing thing.
Right. Okay. I mean, to me, that I'm personally fine with that. It seems pretty minimal. Again, this photo zoomed in. It's not against the open sky. It's just a corner of it. It's one vantage point from pretty far down the street. I think I would feel the same way about the railing, which we see the little corner of on the right. But let me just ask, since again, it's a little hard to know how we're oriented here. How much would you have to move that to make it go away entirely?
It depends on where you're standing, but let's assume that we're only from this point of view. I think if it was pulled in towards the middle of the building, try to do a quick geometry here, Pythagorean theorem, probably right. 3 feet. 3 feet it would disappear.
Yeah.
From this lens.
What we're looking at here is a 2x4, right?
Correct.
Okay. And the real thing, of course, is a thin iron railing, 7/8 inch or something. Maybe even smaller. I mean, the top, right? Yeah, I guess I can't get too excited about this one either. But does anyone have a contrary view with respect to either of these features?
I think they're fine.
Okay. Sounds like we have consensus on that. So let's go to the front mansard windows. So now Nick and I have looked into this, and this whole mansard addition, which is obviously an addition, this is quite an old building, probably quite early Greek Revival period, it's the Flemish bond and everything, trapezoid lintel. So it's, you know, right on the cusp probably between Federal and Greek Revival. I think we've got the date around here somewhere, but this is obviously a later addition. But Nick and I have sort of sleuthed this a little, and Mark, tell me if this is consistent with your understanding, but this is a much more modern version of this than we might typically see, which of course might more typically been done during the latter half of the 19th century as these buildings were Victorianized. And indeed, its next door neighbor that's just visible to the left of that photo has actually a pretty nice example of that, a full-on Victorian mansard addition. This is not technically a Victorian mansard addition, and it could be as new as the 60s, Nick, we think. And I think that explains why, candidly, Mark, no disrespect to your building, but it's maybe not the most successful example that we would find lacking in some of the elegance and architectural grandeur that a lot of these mansard additions have. And that, I think, also explains why these windows are a little bit unusual and, I dare say, perhaps even awkward. So there's, I don't know that there's much that's particularly architecturally significant about this. Having said that, there was a comment from the Civic Association regarding the revision of the Munton pattern from the 2/2 to the 6/6. I think, you know, if this had indeed been a true Victorian edition, it's stylistically, its DNA is certainly Victorian, again, albeit an awkward reimagining of it many years later, 100 years later, perhaps. You know, maybe that argument would be, I think, carry a bit more weight in my mind. I would agree that, you know, to the extent that this was a Victorian era addition to the building, we would want to preserve that as a record of the architectural history of the building, and to set off, as I think the Civic Association said, this distinct, much later addition to what was originally, again, this Greek Revival or late Federal architecture. But given its actual provenance, maybe not so much. But what do folks think about that? So there's two things that are going on here, right? They're making the windows a little taller, and they're switching to 6/6 from the 2/2.
Well, I'm dying to hear. Nick, what does the city think about switching to 6/6 as opposed to 2/2?
I mean, truthfully, I'm somewhat indifferent. What's that?
I said I am too.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll sleep well with either decision. As Marcus said, this is kind of like an awkward type of addition mansard. So I'm not committed to anything in terms of the window. So
hearing the discussion so far, I'm becoming more negative about this change. I mean, I was questioning just 8. Why would you go through this business to get 8 inches you know, we have four windows. Well, maybe they're not all in the same space, but get 8 inches height, and to make them match the windows below seems a little bit of rearranging the history, because it says it points out that it was all built at the same time rather than this kind of clunky add-on. So I'm feeling more ambivalent about this particular facade change than I was. But I have other comments on the other elevations too.
Well, I guess I'm also still just a little bit troubled is the wrong word, but just because we're not seeing what's actually there in the existing, it's just a little hard to interpret the real impact of this change. I think what you've got as the existing mark is more flattering to this building than what's actually there is, I guess, part of my problem.
Sorry, Mr. Chow, I don't understand. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still just a little thrown by the fact that what's shown on the existing, your observation before, is not what's actually reflected in the existing condition, that the windows are not fully filling out, in effect, the dormer. There's this large space above them.
Right.
Is there, and the reason, Mark, that you want to go down rather than up, given you've got some room to go up, apparently, is because the sill height is awkwardly high already, you think?
Yeah, and also it stems from the conversation we had a month ago where we had proposed a complete rework of the mansard, which I thought was a little more, even though it is a 2024 proposal and if not historic to any other time, what we had drawn before was sort of a little more designed, and we modified the dormers extensively. And the feedback from that was no. So we thought we'd come back and say, well, we're still looking to get more light inside these rooms and drop the sill to lower than 30 inches. So that's really what's pushing us here. The light pattern, I don't feel strongly about. They're 2/2 now, and there's evidence of dormers that are not dormers and mansards that I don't believe are original to other buildings across the street, having the same 6/6 light pattern as the brick portion of those buildings. I'm not passionate about the light pattern, but I do want, my clients expressed interest in getting more light in what is a bedroom.
Right. I think that the challenge with the other ones that you pointed out, I mean, indeed, there are extant examples even right across the street or just down the street that have a 6/6 pattern. But of course, windows are the thing we find people need to replace the most. And so you never know. It's rare to find truly original windows that are, 150 years old. And so who knows what they were originally. So it's a little hard to tell when you do see those other ones, whether they reflect the original architectural condition or some later revision, perhaps even a quite recent or relatively recent addition. So they're instructive, but not determinative, I suppose, about what's appropriate here. Let's see. I think I'm kind of indifferent as well. I think if there was more significance to this particular mansard feature from this building, I think I might be more concerned about either altering it in the first place or exactly just trying to get the details right of how we revise it. But I think in this case, not so much. Anyone else have a view on that?
The mission is the silent.
Mo, is your inclination just leave it as is, or do you have a suggestion for that you would find satisfactory but you think better?
Thanks. That's an interesting question. I think looking at the photo, it's heavy-handed with that header, that sort of fat header across the top of the window. But that's what makes it kind of unique. And we sort of want to dress it up and make it very formal, you know, look like all the other guys below.
So you're saying that, not to put words in your mouth, but this, maybe this thing that I've been a bit dismissive of is maybe a little more important in your mind, that, okay, it is a 60s edition. It's not a bona fide Victorian mansard in any sense of the word, other than it sort of looks like one. And that's itself a part of the architectural record that distinguishes this house and its history from its neighbors. Yes. Even if less successfully architecturally, maybe importantly historically, is that a fair characterization?
That is very nicely stated.
Yeah.
I thought the material above at the top is remaining in situ, right? The only discussion is the number of lights and the height of the sill. Yeah. So the distinctiveness of the headers is proposed to remain intact.
Right, I know.
So, Mo, I think the things that you're suggesting are important and distinctive are staying, which would be a good thing, and the applicant simply wants to drop the sill 8 inches, and they're ambivalent whether it's 2/2 or 6/6, so maybe that's a separate conversation. So
that you could keep them 2/2.
I thought they were making it 6/6.
Mark said he was ambivalent to the number of lights, and maybe that's an easy thing to resolve.
I think if they were kept dropping the sill in and keeping them 2/2, that I think is a better of this crazy mix of things. Is a better answer than trying to imply that it was part of original.
Okay, so maybe we're I think we're getting somewhere. So if we Mo, you're okay with dropping the sill but keeping them 2/2?
Yes, I think that would be a better answer. But
yeah, even on the exterior, in my mind, the first time we looked at this was how high those sills are. You often see, even the next door neighbor, that sill is really close to the original cornice line.
I don't have a problem with dropping the sill. So it was matching the windows.
Yeah.
It'll make it easier to clean the gutter, too.
Yeah. And Mark, Mark Van Brocklin, are you okay with that? I wasn't sure which Mark was being referred to a moment ago in terms of being ambivalent.
Van Brocklin. Mr. Commissioner.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I thought you implied that the number of lights was on the table.
Yeah. No, I think we I hope we have a consensus now. Yes, to drop the sill, but keep the 2/2.
Can I just ask a question, please?
Yes, please, Commissioner Richmond.
You know, it seems to me that we're not being necessarily consistent, and I'm not sure that we have to be, but you know, we frequently say that when mistakes have been made, usually they have to do with roof decks, but presumably they could include more than just roof decks, that we have an opportunity to correct those mistakes, and that it appears to me, and I don't know a lot, but it appears to me that there is a consensus among the people who do know that the way in which these mansard windows were put in was a mistake, and not attractive, and, you know, sort of something that was done at a time when people were not necessarily paying a lot of attention to the kinds of issues that we care about, you know, the aesthetics of it all. So I guess I don't really understand why, you know, when we see a roof deck that we think can be improved by the way in which it was approved back in the 60s or whenever it was, that's any different from this. I mean, I think that if an architect says, and I guess they are saying, that it's not only, if I understood what he said, It's not only an issue of light by dropping the cells, but it's also an interest of aesthetics to make it look better. Well, why should we not want to do that?
I think we are. I think that's what we're coming to.
I think we
have a consensus now, and not to put words in your mouth, Alice, but that dropping the sills is okay. I think we would like to see the 2/2 retained. Yes. Again, as not because this thing was done in 1870 or something, quite the contrary, but because it is a marker of the architectural history of the building. It was what was done at that time, and it helps to further set off this upper story to make it clear that this is part of the evolution of the building and was built at a different time than the rest of it. So
I would answer that making mistakes like that, you know, add to the flavor of the neighborhood. I mean, what we have are these extraordinary, wonderful facades, nicely proportioned and historic and so forth. But these things happen, and that's sort of the patina of age. And I think I'm comfortable with dropping the sill 8 inches, but keeping it 2/2. I don't want to belabor it.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Mark, in the interest of time, it sounds like we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Why don't we move to the final consideration of the windows on the rear aisle, which is the side, the west elevation, which is what we're looking at there. So again, just to really sum up very quickly, the third floor, which is to say that the top most section of the brick facade stays the same in its configuration. The one below, which is to say the second floor, the leftmost windows get one gets shorter, the other gets a little taller, so they're the same size now. And then there's one is enlarged with a second window and a Juliet balcony. And then the ones below, I think we can, unless there's any objection, we can dispense with the lowest most course of windows because they are effectively not visible from the public way. The header of that rightmost one will be, but effectively you won't notice any difference as it's enlarged. So let's concern ourselves with the middle one, because that's where things are actually changing.
Correct.
And I think that perhaps the most, the one that might be the most controversial is this enlargement of the window at the center here. You'll recall originally it was proposed to make that same treatment of all three of these windows, the ones to the left. So thank you, Mark, for revising this in response to our comments about wanting to retain and not sort of imply too much. Because again, we have here, it's a secondary facade, as the Civic Association has noted, but nevertheless, I think in the case of this building, which is quite large and has been expanded multiple times and significantly over the years, this fenestration, in effect, like the mansard in the front, marks that passage of time and the later additions. You can clearly see the stuff to the right of that gutter where there's a recess in the brick. The fenestration is different versus on the left, which is what we're looking at now. So this is visible from Branch Street, right? But especially so. Obviously, it's only visible from further down the street because it's on the side. Is anyone have a strong feeling one way or the other? Again, just specifically about this one window that's proposed for enlargement and the addition of the Juliet balcony.
I'm shocked to see it. As I mentioned in other meetings, in my time on the commission, I've been surprised that there is more flexibility about the facades than I ever imagined, which pleases me because sometimes you need to do it. So I don't, except that we don't generally play with window openings very much. I don't object to it as an idea. What I really find strange is the two windows to the left, wanting to make those minor adjustments to line them up. I think that's really not appropriate, even though they're minor, because it's It's the patina, again, of what I was just mentioning. And I've mentioned the asymmetry and other side wall or rear wall elevations that happen, and is being part of just, oh yeah, here's the sidewall, let's do it. The architects of the day didn't care so much about all this. They only cared about the street facade and let all this other stuff happen as they needed to. Why these heads and sills of different height boggles the mind, but I wouldn't change them. I think it's part of the patina, but I don't particularly object to the, that's oddly enough, I don't object to the enlargement of the window with that balcony.
Okay, so Mo, to sum up, no to the left, to yes to the right one.
Yes, sir.
Okay. now, the leftmost one, can we, do we have a photo? Can we even see that? Again, there's a big tree that's quite grown in now, but.
I think it is visible, just to show my hand. The tree is in the way, but yeah, on page 4.2, the middle photo.
Why do you have to do that?
It's the main kitchen of, it's the kitchen of the home. The thought of, you know, a nice connection to the courtyard, which will be the main entertaining space. We don't have to do
it. That's for that window. I mean, about the two windows to the left.
Second story.
Again, from the interior, just to that's one room, and to have the windows be the same proportion and relationship to the floor and ceiling from the interior perspective of the desire.
Okay. Anyone else? And let's see. We've got. I have looked at the staff comments, but I'm looking at them again. Nick, I won't ask you to reiterate them, but you're to sum up, Nick. We've already gone over the mansard, but these windows in particular, you're okay with.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I'm listening to Mo's comments last time, keeping the all of the windows at a different dimension as they are now is fine. But I think this small change is de minimis, especially considering the location.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just to be clear, and including the enlargement of the one window and the addition of the Juliet balcony.
Yeah, correct.
Right. Okay. Anyone else with either affirmative or negative view of that?
I'd concur with that.
Okay. Anything else, Nick? Is that it? I think that's it. Okay, so quickly.
We talked about that. We talked about the head house. We talked about the roof deck. I think that's it.
Okay, so just to very quickly sum up. I think we have consensus on not necessarily the same order, but front mansard, drop the sill 8 inches, retain 2/2. The roof deck railings and head house approved as submitted, or okay as submitted. Light fixtures okay as submitted, with the proviso that the downlights for the garage door be fully recessed pin lights, so that no visible fixture, no portion of the fixture is visible. And then finally, with respect to the proposed window openings, it sounds like on the west elevation of the L, I think I'm hearing a consensus for approval as submitted.
Oh, yeah. That's what I hear.
West elevation. This one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I'm sorry. Consensus maybe not a full consensus. I didn't mean
I withdraw my... I agree it's de minimis. I was just... voicing my opinion that I love this variation that happens on these other facades.
Yeah, no, that's a point well taken. I think it is. We've retained some of that in the upper floor, which yes. At least at certain times of the year is probably going to be the most visible. So maybe this is a reasonable compromise. yes. in that regard. We have, by the way, allowed this treatment of sort of reconfiguration of windows to a certain extent. The rear of 50 Beacon up the street comes to mind as one example. Just if that's helpful to anyone. Okay. In the interest of time, I will make, Commissioner Richmond, do you want to get a comment in?
No, I'm sorry. My dog is bothering me.
Okay. I will move that the application be approved as submitted with the following provisos. That one, with respect to the proposed alteration of the dormers on the front mansard, that the 2/2 configuration of the windows be retained. Number two, with respect to the proposed light fixtures, that the light fixtures above the garage door be recessed pin lights installed in a manner which none of the fixture is not visible. And I think that's it. Is that it? Okay, do I hear a second?
Aye. Second.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feingold?
Aye.
Commissioner Fleck?
Aye.
Commissioner Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond?
Aye.
And Commissioner Steele?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate your thorough presentation and your patience. Big project, I realize, but you'll get a letter from Nick laying out what we've just determined. If you have any questions, as usual, just, of course, give him a call directly.
Great. Thank you all. Have a nice evening.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark. Okay.
Thank you. Administrative review. Anyone have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns on the administrative review matters?
No, I thought they were fine.
Okay. I do too. Nick, I ask it every time. I'm going to ask it again.
Public.
Do you take public comments?
You do, yes.
Yes, anyone want to be heard on the record with respect to administrative approvals? In whole or in part? Going once? Going twice? Okay, hearing none, I'll move approval of the administrative review items en masse. Anyone have any recusals? I just want to make sure. No? Okay. Do I hear a second?
I second it.
Second.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen?
Aye.
Mr. Feingold?
Aye.
Mr. Fleck?
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond?
Aye.
And Commissioner Steele?
Aye.
Okay, great. Administrative items are approved. Moving on. We have, so we're not going to take the vote, Nick, is that right?
Correct. Yeah, we don't. Ralph needs to be here and he's not here, so.
Right. Okay. We'll get it one of these months.
One of these days, yeah.
Staff updates, Nick.
Why can't we take that vote?
Minute. We can't take it, Mo, because Ralph has to be here, and he's not here. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yep. Thank you. Yep. Yep. Sorry, Mark. The next up is minutes. I skipped ahead.
Oh, sorry. Any questions, comments, revisions for the minutes of the May 16th, 2024 hearing?
No.
Okay. I will move approval of the ratification of public hearing minutes of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission hearing of May 16, 2024.
No moved.
Is that a second?
Second.
Yep.
Okay, we'll vote. Commissioner Allen?
Aye.
Mr. Feingold?
Aye.
Mr. Fleck?
Aye.
Mr. Kiefer votes aye. Commissioner Richmond?
Aye.
And Commissioner Steele?
Aye.
Great. Minutes are approved. Ratified. Nick, staff updates.
So the only update I have is the district expansion. We did have one more additional step went through Senate. The second reading was ordered on June 6th. And the third is the last step in the Senate. And then it goes to the governor's office. So for signature. So fingers crossed. If anyone has any contacts in the Senate, maybe poke them and ask them to move that along. So looking good, promising. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, Nick. Is there any sense that it won't happen? I mean, I can make a phone call, but
I would encourage anyone that has connections to their elected officials to contact their elected officials. I'm not going to say whether it's a good thing or a bad thing because it's very unpredictable. So if you have connections or you just want to be, you know, an active citizen, I would encourage you to contact your representative and encourage them to move it forward.
But let me just make sure that it's something that we as the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission want to happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yes, very much. All right. So.
Fine. Thank you.
Yep.
One question, Nick, could you distribute or share the item number? So if we were
That's good. Thank you. Oh,
yeah. Can... Good idea.
And if you send us the email, that'd be great.
Bill number, however they label
it. Yeah, I can tell you right now if you need to hear it. So it's Bill.
I'll write it down.
H.4076.
4076.
Would you send us an email of that, please?
I'll certainly do that. Also, Mo. Yeah, I can do that.
Email it to the commission.
You got it.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. I think there's no further business. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
No.
Aye.
Mr. Bye. Chair. Bye.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Mo.
You're in Nantucket at a film festival. Is your film involved?
It is not this year. Maybe next year.
Oh, I hope so.
Yes, thank you.
I haven't seen it yet, but I think it would be really nice.
Right. Thank you very much.
Right. Okay.
Have a rush off to dinner. Good to see you all. Thank you very much.
Happy
everybody.
Bye.
Happy summer. Thanks. Take care.